This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Well, I'm very excited to welcome our next guest, Steph Green. Steph's a former archaeologist who now writes full-time from her home in the Kaipara. And in the past 10 years, she's built an international fan base. She's published a prolific output of paranormal romance as Stephanie Holmes and successfully marketed her own work through her website, Nevermore Bookshop, amongst others. No mai, haere mai, Steph. Welcome to The Free Breakfast.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here.
Oh, it's an absolute pleasure. And, of course, we're speaking to you because you're going to be part of Hamilton Book Month. And what I wanted to find out, before we find out about the workshop that you're doing and the things, I really wanted to, for our listeners to get a bit of an insight into you and when your writing began and what led you to turning this into a full-time gig, what, over a decade ago now?
Yes, it's been a while. So, basically I'm trained to be an archaeologist and I wanted to work in museums, but when I went to try and find work, I came across a lot of people would sort of say, we think that you're a health and safety risk because I am legally blind, and so we don't trust you around artifacts, and it got really disheartening, and so I was a bit upset about the whole thing. And it was actually my husband who suggested, you really enjoy writing, and that's something that no one can tell you that you can't do. So maybe you should, pursue that as a career. Okay. And I think at the time, neither of us really knew that there was a pathway to becoming a fiction author full time. But I managed to find that pathway through self-publishing. And, I self-published my first romance novel in 2015, and I went full-time in 2018, and I've been doing this ever since.
That is phenomenal. And, I mean, just to go back to that, you managed to get your degree qualification and achieve all of that while overcoming your barrier with your vision, but it wasn't able to be, you just hit those barriers when you hit the workforce.
Yes, and I mean, it's just not to say that if I had kept pursuing it, I may have eventually, found my way in, but it was just becoming too, I was just disheartened and, not keen to be constantly told no for something that wasn't really an issue.
Absolutely.
It's more of an issue because that was what people believed about a blind person or a person with a vision impairment, that they couldn't do this thing, and it's not actually true, but sometimes it doesn't matter that it's not true.
And what an awesome support from your husband to just go, okay, well, they suck, let's actually focus on something that you can have complete control and agency over.
Exactly, and he's pretty incredible. He's my editor, my first editor, so he reads everything before I send it off. And he's very mean, but he's very good.
So we do need a mean friend. You need a critical friend. And if you guys can separate that out, I mean, that's absolutely brilliant. What a partnership. Good go you. And so your books are described, I loved this, as dark, gothic, kooky and spooky romance novels. So what is it about the paranormal romance that you really enjoy as a storyteller?
I think I like that when you're writing paranormal or fantasy, you're holding up a cracked mirror to the real world, and I love that you can kind of use the creatures or mythology or magic to kind of say something about the world and the way we exist as humans and the nature of humanity and all these kind of interesting things. I've also always been the weird kid. I was a teenage goth. I can't say no to a vampire. I was just always drawn to that sort of kind of darker, gothier side of things. So it seems natural that I would, that's the area that I would write in.
I love that. And also, what great scope within that realm to as you say, to explore a whole range of things, but with the freedom of not having to be confined to kind of reality, which a functional human reality that we know of. I love that cracked mirror analogy. That's a brilliant way of thinking about it. It's obviously working for you, because I read you've possibly done more since this, but you've written and published over 55 books. That's an enormous output, given that you just wrote your first one just over 10 years ago. So, of course, the question is, how on earth do you do it?
It's been quite interesting learning that, because, you know, the first books that I wrote, it might have taken me 5 years to write one book. And then when I kind of wrote my first romance novel, I wrote it in 3 weeks and kind of published it under the secret pen name and thought I wouldn't even tell my husband about it. It was just kind of a experiment. And then it sold like 1,000 copies in a week, and I kind of had to sort of secretly tell him.
Wow.
I'd actually made some money self-publishing with this like cozy shifter novella that had only taken me 3 weeks to write. So I used to write 6 to 8 books a year, but I've slowed down a bit now, which is very nice. So I sort of do 3 to 4 a year. And I aim for, when I used to have a day job, I used to aim for 2,000 words a day, every single day, and I kind of didn't allow myself to relax until I had completed those words. And during my really prolific years, when I was writing full-time, that I did 4,000 words a day, and I'm back down to 2,000 now. But I can get those done kind of in anything from an hour in the morning to sort of 3 hours in the morning. It just depends on how focused I am. But I write with a timer. So I put a timer on for 30 minutes, and I don't try not to look at Facebook or anything else, and I just focus on that, how many words can I get in 30 minutes? And then I sort of try and beat that, how many words I got in the next 30 minutes. And it's a little bit like a game. That's kind of how it works.
That's such a good tip, isn't it? Such a good discipline, because we are kind of constantly distracted, really, aren't we, with things that are going on in our lives and interesting shiny things being dangled in front of us on various platforms. And it is really hard, I think, to focus. So that idea of just an achievable short-term discipline of 30 minutes is a great tip. And I think I can imagine that would suit you sort of neuro-spicy folk as well as just anybody who just needs to get stuck in. Do you think... Wanting to know how, so you've published this first book, I love that story, you slipped it out, it did really well. As you've grown and scaled up your output and you've turned this into your career, how are you reaching your readers? How have you gone, because you're still primarily, I know you're represented, but you're still primarily self-publishing, is that right? Or
It's a mix. So I signed a traditional publishing deal in early 2025, and so my indie self-published output's gone down a bit as I've done more traditional. But I am still doing indie. I actually have an indie book publisher coming out tomorrow, so that's quite exciting.
Yeah.
And then I have this huge backlist. So even while I'm promoting the TradPub books, my recent releases, I still have control of over, it's actually 63 books I counted.
Wow.
I have control over all of those books, so I'm promoting them at the same time. And I use primarily, I'm kind of really focused on ebook sales. And I use a lot of social media and a lot of Facebook advertising, so Meta advertising and Amazon advertising, but a lot of it is sort of social media and word of mouth and talking to book influencers and kind of trying to get them to like promote my books to their audience. So it's changed a lot since I first started, but it's still very kind of focused on the book community, and it's quite a wonderful space to be, really.
Yeah, and I guess too, connecting and using all of those things, and that's going to be something we'll pick up just at the end, because I'm sure it'll be featuring in your workshop, is all of that range of strategies and approaches and using, using influencers and using online platforms. So it's very cool. And I think people will learn a lot from you about how to do that. With your work, you also publish some non-fiction writing and sort of in the forms of guides. How do you decide what to write for those?
So it's always, I decide what to write. It's just always some kind of question that I want to kind of explore, or as sort of a character that I'm kind of, you know, often the character comes to you first and you think, oh, they're an interesting person. How do I put them in the worst possible situation that particular person could be in, and then how do I get them out of it? Or, you know, with romance, we're often thinking, you know, we come up with a wonderful character and we think, okay, well, who is the absolute worst person in the world for them to fall in love with? And then we make them fall in love. So, like, my recent trad pub book, which is called Fangs for Nothing, is about this 500-year-old vampire, and he has spent the last 5 centuries kind of holed up in his castle pursuing every imaginable hobby that you could possibly think of. So he's done like ceramics, and he's done painting, and he's made teddy bears, and he's made swords, and he's done tapestries, done all these things. And so his castle is completely filled with all of these kind of discarded hobbies. And if anyone is like a person who does a lot of hobbies, you will very much relate to this. And so who would be the absolute worst person for him to fall in love with? Well, it would be a professional organizer who has been hired to come and help him declutter his castle. And, you know, she is very kind of type A, and she doesn't like clutter, and she grew up with a mother who was a hoarder, so mess, like, makes her really, really anxious. And so, you know, their romance is completely delightful, specifically because they're the absolute worst two people to fall in love, and then they fall in love.
I love that premise, and I also really love the way that it's just thematically so connected to the current world, you know, because we're often, you know, people are worrying about decluttering. We've got TV shows that are sort of advising us, or that are showcasing people with too much stuff. And, you know, so it's a great way of just grounding it in something so relatable. But we're in this kind of other world. I think another string to your bow is that, you know, you're working as a publishing coach too. What does a publishing coach do, and what do people mostly need help with?
So I sort of do a little bit less of this now, basically, because I'm just so busy with my own books. But what I kind of have been doing is I sort of talk authors through, so you've written a book, now what do you do? Or you know, you want to kind of give your book the best sort of possible book launch that you could, but you need a plan and a strategy for how to do that. Or you've kind of written and published a few books and you'd like to kind of be a full-time author or make this your career or kind of move up a level, but you don't really have a strategy or like a plan for how to do that. And this is the stuff that really lights me up. I love thinking really strategically about publishing and genres and tropes and kind of how to reach readers. And so I'm quite good at being able to kind of pull that out from authors, you know, pull out the things that they love to write about and say, okay, well, how do we match these with your kind of your ideal reader, and how do we reach those readers, and how do we keep giving them the books that really excite them?
It's a great skill, because not everybody can take that step back and that slightly more objective sort of strategic view of things. So I'm sure you would be in demand if you had the time to do a bit more of that. But people can find out, if there's only just a couple of places left, if you're listening to this on record, you may have missed out. But people do have the opportunity to learn from you as part of the How to Rock Your Book Marketing in 2026, which is a workshop happening as part of Hamilton Book Month. People, if people do want to grab a spot to that, you need to register on the Hamilton Book Month website. So you're going to be sharing some of that over the workshop, which is going to be fantastic. And if people want to find out more about your work, Steph, where can they find you?
So the best place to find out more about me is, well, first of all, please come along to my workshop. There are a few more spots available, and we would absolutely love to have you. But the second thing is you can find all of my books, including my nonfiction books for authors, on my website, which is www.nevermorebookshop.co.nz. Or I'm on social media, Stephanie Holmes Writes, on Instagram, on TikTok, on all the places. Those are probably the two best places to reach me.
It's absolutely brilliant. So definitely look those up and, yeah, hit up Hamilton Book Month on the website if you want to get along. Steph, thanks so much. It's been really inspiring speaking with you and hearing a little bit about your work, just a glimpse into it. And all the best. And I'm looking forward to, to tracking you down on Nevermore Bookshop.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks.
Yes, I hope everyone comes along to the workshop and to any of the other events that are on throughout Hamilton Book Month, because it's going to be, there's some awesome stuff happening. It's
some great stuff, isn't it? We're so lucky. Thanks so much, Steph. We appreciate you joining us on the Free Breakfast.
Yeah, thank you. Bye-bye.
That's Steph Green there, author and public speaker, all sorts of things. She does it all.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.